said shame, dirty shame, yeah. We can't work it out, no, not this time. We can't be together.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Alec McGillis, a New Republic writer serving as the magazine's chief correspondent for the 2012 campaign. Previously, he spent 5 years at the Washington Post covering politics and domestic policy and also wrote for the Baltimore Sun. He wrote the cover article in the April issue of the New Republic, The Big Split, Why the Hedge Fund World Loved Obama in 2008 and Viscerally Despises Him Today. Welcome to Background Briefing, Alec McGillis.
Thanks for having me.
And I guess, could you answer that question? Well, I know you've written a whole article,
right.
A lengthy one to do so, right. But what's a brief answer to that question?
I'm not sure there is a brief answer, but it's a real mystery that I set out to try to answer here. I mean, this is, I see it as one of the more interesting subplots of this administration. You have these guys, these masters of the universe, who just really loved Barack Obama back in 2008 and felt a real kind of connection with him, kind of saw him as somehow like them. And then over the last few years, he's lost them. He's lost most of them. And some of them are now spending very, very heavily on the other side, sending million-dollar checks to the Republicans, and are just deeply, deeply angry at him. And so the question is, what's going on here, right? And these guys are still... they're still doing quite well for themselves, very well for themselves. The top 40 hedge funds made $13 billion last year. That's the top 40 managers made $13 billion combined last year. Their taxes have not gone up. They've barely gone up over the last few years. And his rhetoric, Obama's rhetoric toward them, has not been all that harsh. You know, a lot of people wish that his rhetoric toward Wall Street would have been harsher. So, you know, what is it? Why are they so deeply upset at him? And so I try to answer this question. I talk to people in this world, and what I came up with was that you know, it's a combination of things. There are some sort of practical, substantial policy things that these guys were upset about, that most of which have to do with tax policy, and I can get into that later if you'd like. But then a lot of it did come around to the rhetoric and that the president's been using, and which is puzzling, right? Because the rhetoric seems to us to be fairly mild. He made some references here and there to fat cat bankers. He talks about hedge fund managers taking advantage of tax loopholes here and there. But in general, his rhetoric's been pretty mild. But what I finally came around to thinking was that, as mild as his rhetoric has been, that these guys may have been picking up on something that is actually perhaps sort of real, which is that this president, who they respected so much and admired so much and felt this connection with a few years ago, actually doesn't think very much of them and doesn't really think very much of the choices they've made and the career choices that they've made and of this life that they've pursued, this life of extreme wealth and extreme success, which a life that these financiers, these managers have managed over the years to justify to themselves as something that's quite valuable and important and noble for society. And you had this president who came along, who they felt this bond with, who has made clear here and there and sort of just expressed, you know, in his sort of mild, subtle way, that he just doesn't really think that there's all that much value to what they do. And they've had a really, really, really hard time with that judgment.
Well, that may be a judgment that the majority of the American people feel, perhaps even the 99% feel towards these representatives of the 1%. Again, I'm speaking with Alec McGillis, a New Republic writer serving as the magazine's chief correspondent for the 2012 campaign. He has written the cover article in the April issue of the New Republic, The Big Split, Why the Hedge Fund World Loved Obama in 2008 and Viscerally Despises Him Today. And you start your article in May of 2007 with Barack Obama wowing the hedge fund managers at an event at the Museum of Modern Art in New York hosted by Goldman Sachs. One of the people there asked him bluntly, if you're elected president, what would you do to the taxes of the people in this room? Obama fired back, I'll raise them, which, you know, most people think that wouldn't be endearing, but they like his brash quality and the qualities that you've just talked about. They clearly don't like him today, but I was trying to ask Senator Sanders, and he sort of ducked the question, is there a political question here? Is there some vengeance here? Is there some payback? And is gouging the price of gasoline a part of a plan, or is it just business as usual?
That's a good question, and I'm no expert on the oil markets, and so I couldn't even say for sure how much of these price spikes are speculation-driven. To the extent that there is speculation going on, I would venture that it's being driven by plain, you know, business motivation.
Old-fashioned greed.
exactly, old-fashioned greed, less than, you know, the political motivation, you know, knowing that these prices are hurting the president.
Right. But what about the extent to which everybody on the left ritually blames Obama's choice of Geithner and Summers for everything? Either they think that Wall Street foisted these guys on him, or he made the terrible choice of choosing them. And you're saying something quite different,
right?
That they actually liked Obama. So it's not so much about Summers and Geithner. It's about a love affair gone wrong with Wall Street and Obama.
Right. It's exactly. He Obama's caught in this incredible bind because you're right. On the left, he got a lot of flack for going with these guys who were very tight with Wall Street. And then at the same time, the fact that he picked Tim Geithner to be Treasury Secretary earned him very little lasting credibility or lasting favor with Wall Street itself and with these hedge fund guys. And this is something that really does seem to go beyond policy. I mean, it's really more perplexing with the hedge funds than it is with the banks, because the banks, the big banks, you can sort of understand somewhat better why they are upset at Obama and not giving him any money now, because there's this real resentment over the bailouts and Dodd-Frank. So there's this feeling that they know that they got bailed out by Obama. They're resentful about that. You know, they know that he thinks they should be more grateful. He pushed for Dodd-Frank, which really has, to some extent, you know, it's not as strong as it could have been, obviously, but it has, there are signs that it is crimping the bank's profits. So you can get it a little bit more that there's this split with the banks. With the hedge funds, it's harder to understand, because Dodd-Frank does not touch the hedge funds as much. They might even benefit from some parts of the law. And they also just felt more of a connection with Obama back in 08 than the banks did. So you just wonder, what is it with them? And that's why, again, I come around to this notion that it's more something that's more personal. It has more to do with values and perceptions of values and perceptions of sort of their personal worth, really. There was a fight over taxes, and I'll just explain that briefly what that involved. You may have heard there's this thing called the hedge fund loophole, which is this pretty outrageous loophole which allows
carried interest, right?
Exactly, hedge fund managers and private equity managers to take the money that they get for managing money, the fees that they collect for managing money, and have that money taxed as capital gains instead of as earned income, when in fact it's just their compensation for the work they do, and they get a tax at 15% when, if it were taxed as ordinary income, it would be
right. Or if they get any tax at all because of the carried interest, where they can spread it over years and years.
Right, exactly. They play games.
Right, with it. And that's what Mitt Romney's been doing, right, with his money.
Right, exactly. What Romney's profited from that, and you know, a lot of these guys actually recognize that the hedge fund loophole is pretty inexcusable. And but what really upset them was that when the Democrats started talking about trying to close the loophole, they went a step further, and they realized that if they just closed the loophole, that there'd be another way for these guys to get around it. It's sort of complicated, but basically they could get around it by selling stakes in their firms to another party, which would allow them to basically continue having their income taxed as capital gains rather than at the higher rate. And so to keep this new loophole from being created, the Democrats were going to basically pass a law saying that if these investment managers sold stakes in their firms, part of the profits from those sales would be taxed as ordinary income and not capital gains. And this, the managers just found totally outrageous. And this was the legislation that prompted this one guy, Steve Schwartzman, to declare that it was like Hitler taking Poland. And they saw this as just total, you know, appropriation of their hard-earned capital. So there was that fight over taxes, but I really do believe that the broader thing that has really upset them is this sense that they've gotten from the president that he just doesn't respect them very much and hold them in very high esteem. And, you know, it's that old saying, you know, you can buy anything with your billions of dollars, but you can't buy respect or reputation. It matters a great deal to these gentlemen what the world thinks of them, and to have the president make clear that he doesn't think very much of them, I think caused them great grief.
Well, one of your sources, of course, is Bill Daley in your article, Alec McGillis, who just was up to recently President Obama's chief of staff, and he talks about how there was so much, you know, just like the rest of the country was in a kind of euphoric mood when he was elected, and how that has changed to this kind of what you describe as how they viscerally despise him today. Just in closing, he is throwing a bone to them that with the Jobs Act, which Simon Johnson and others say is an open invitation for fraud. Is that going to win any brownie points with him?
I kind of doubt it because, again, so many of there's so many things that he has done that have upset people on the left that have seen like have been seen as sops to Wall Street, and these have not kept him from being loathed by some of them. I should say in closing that there's a chance that some of these guys will come sort of crawling back toward the Democratic camp, toward Obama.
If they think he's going to be reelected, right?
If they think he's going to be reelected, and which will be a little awkward for some of them, but some of them might try to do that. But I think for most of them, they are just that angry. I mean, one of the guys I focus on, Ken Griffin, head of Citadel, this huge hedge fund in Chicago, who gave a lot to Obama last time and is now split with him, he just in the papers today said that he'd given another $100,000 to Mitt Romney's super PAC. So some of them are they're done with Obama.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Alec McGillis.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Alec McGillis, who is a New Republic writer serving as the magazine's chief correspondent for the 2012 campaign. Previously, he spent 5 years at the Washington Post covering politics and domestic policy and also wrote for the Baltimore Sun. He has the cover article in the April issue of the New Republic, The Big Split: Why the Hedge Fund World Loved Obama in 2008 and Viscerally Despises Him Today.